Tonight we're going to get started by reading from Hebrews chapter 10. So let me read a few verses for us to orient our hearts towards what we're going to talk about tonight. Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The author of Hebrews, I think, in this passage is reminding us that God invites us to come near to him, to draw near to him, that we actually have an invitation from God because of what Christ has done. That we are invited by God to come to him, and as we do that, it is going to be difficult, that we have to hold fast to our confession of faith. There are going to be challenges. I was thinking about this tonight in some ways, that tonight is an opportunity for us to be encouraged by what God is doing in our church and in our city, and to be envisioned and encouraged for what we hope he is going to be doing over this next year. But there are a million things on our minds, middle of the week, that we're thinking about, that we're distracted by, that Satan is going to use tonight even to tempt us to be distracted from hearing about what God's doing, to not want this to be an encouraging time for our souls, to not want us to walk away here stirred afresh to love and good deeds. And part of the encouragement of this passage is that we don't do this alone, but that we do this together. And actually, right after this, in chapter 11 in Hebrews, it gives all these testimonies of faith, and then in chapter 12 tells us the reason that the author did that was so that we would have courage and be encouraged to run the race just like so many have before us. Tonight we want to hear about how people are running the race and be encouraged by that. We want to hear about how people are living for God in ways that stir us up so that we have a desire and a heart this next year to live for God in fresh and new and exciting ways, to be a part of what God is doing in this church. And the last thing, and I think this is important, this is a big heart for why we have family meetings and why we do this together, is that when we meet together, it's not just about us being encouraged or us being envisioned for the next year. But part of loving one another in this church is taking what we think about, hear about, and are encouraged by here and making connections for the people who aren't here. Who's not here tonight that we can help encourage to be involved in what's going on, what God is at work doing? Who's not here tonight to not hear about the M28 mentor program, but would be a great mentor for college students? Who's not here tonight that could really use one of the Old Testament classes that are coming up? Because they talk about all the time in your community group how they don't know the Old Testament very well and wish they did. Who's not here tonight that could be connected to one of the opportunities that we're going to be talking about, that we want to be thinking about and doing as a church over this next year? Who's not here tonight that we can be encouraging and stirring up for love and good deeds over this next year? It's an opportunity that we have to love people in our church. And so tonight we want to talk about the why. Why are we doing what we're doing of this next year, and also celebrate some of the things that we have seen God doing in our church. And so I want to pray for us, and then I'm going to go through what we're going to kind of cover tonight. So pray with me as we seek God. Well, one of the things I just wanted to give actually like a very quick update about is last family meeting, we talked about doing Connect Sundays, where we would do these Connect receptions after church, four or five times a year, just to try to help connect new people. Two things. One, we have another one coming up, so it's a great opportunity to invite new people, and there have been a out-of-control number of new people recently, in case you haven't noticed that. I don't feel like I know like a third of the people that are here on Sunday mornings anymore. It is a ton of new people, which is a ton of opportunity. Ton of opportunity to be welcoming, ton of opportunity to love people, help them find a church, ton of opportunity for us to hopefully be meeting, whether it's brothers and sisters in Christ or people were just coming in the door because it's convenient and they want to do something on a Sunday morning, we have the chance to share the gospel with. But we're having another one in a couple of weeks. And part of the reason I wanted to let you know about it is we had one this summer and it was out of control good. So thank you for everybody who invited people to that, brought people to that, prayed for that. We have Starting Point coming up this fall. If you have people that have been coming to your community group, or you have people that you've been talking with down in children's ministry afterwards, and they are not members and they don't know why they need to be members, we would love for you to encourage them to come to Starting Point. The best way to get people to go to Starting Point is through relationships they have with people already in the church. If they don't understand the value of church membership and why I should be a member of a local church, the place they're first gonna hear about where that's valuable is the relationships that they already have. They're gonna come to Starting Point and hopefully hear from the Bible why it's so valuable and why it's so good and why we are committed to that and what the value of committing to one another is. But the place where they're gonna really first hear that is from us, having conversations. And just thought it would be a helpful encouragement as we've been talking and praying about it in terms of how many people have been visiting as this area grows. And the opportunity to help them understand the value of living a life of a disciple in a local church, whether it's here or somewhere else, we want to help them see the value and the beauty of that. Another thing, hopefully, that everybody got is the fall and winter schedule for Sunday morning classes and the weekenders. One thing just to note is we included the weekenders that we have coming up on here as well. That's just hopefully to help people be able to plan out the whole year, see when are we doing weekenders, why do we do weekenders, what are they for, and be able to point people to them. So for instance, in particular, we have another marriage weekender coming up in November, which is far out. But part of the reason for just even reminding tonight is there's a lot that goes into that. So people do questionnaires. We plan way out in advance. We try to care for people even before we do it. And so it's something that if you've been hearing about, hey, you know what? I think this couple would be really served to do a marriage weekender in our community group. Be thinking about how to encourage them to do that. Think about how you can actually go and do it together. It's a great thing to be able to both be going through stuff like that. So anyways, this is to get into your hands early and early enough that you can be thinking about that, seeing that, and possibly even think about who should we be inviting to some of these things. And one, two things to highlight with our upcoming Sunday classes. One of the things that we want to do into the future is start a series of classes called Loving Your Neighbor. We've realized that as we've started emphasizing and really working hard on how do we demonstrate the gospel in our city, we also want to be equipping on how do we also proclaim the gospel in our city. And that's more and more complicated the further and further away our city gets from being Christian. The less sort of Christianese that culture is used to, the more and more complicated it is to have gospel conversations. It's not impossible. It just, culture's changing. And so we want to be people who are equipped to do that well. So we want to start a series of classes on how do we think about that? How do we love our neighbor?
If you remember, last September, we took a Sunday to specifically preach from Galatians chapter 4 and look at how God has adopted us into his family through the gospel. I love this quote by J.I. Packer when he says, "In adoption, God takes us into his family and fellowship. He establishes us as his children and as heirs. Closeness, affection, generosity are at the heart of the relationship. To be right with God the judge is a great thing, but to be loved and cared for by God the Father is greater." And so last September, we talked about that, and we talked specifically about how we believed as elders that God was specifically calling us as a church to model this particular truth of the gospel as we sought to minister and care for at-risk children in our city and beyond, just as a way to reflect the heart of the Father in very tangible ways. And so if you remember then, after that service, we had a number of tables set up here in the auditorium, throughout the auditorium, just with different opportunities, different ministries that you could be involved in and participate in. You guys remember, folks remember that we did that? Okay, all right, good. I got more nods than the three. That's good. So we wanted to let you know tonight that we are going to be doing something very similar again on Sunday, November the 10th, because we don't believe that this is a fad. Something that's going away. We believe that this is something that God has called us to together as a church. In fact, let me just rephrase that a little bit by saying, in saying that we believe this is something God has called us to together, we really do believe and mean that every single person in our church family, right, in some form or some fashion, is called to be involved, which I'll explain just a little bit more in just a moment. Maybe you've heard it said before that on average, in any given church, 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work, and that the other 80% are just watching the other 20% of the people do all the work. Now, I don't necessarily think that that's true here. I think it's just said to sort of make a point, and I think where it might be relevant to us is that I do think when it comes to this area of church life together, we still have room to grow, right? We still have a bunch of people on the sidelines who could be involved that maybe aren't or don't know how to be involved. And so we do believe God has opened some wonderful doors for us as a church in this area through things like Stony Creek Elementary School, Safe Families, the different pro-life ministries, Luke's Kids, Rancho 3M, et cetera, et cetera. There are a number of wonderful doors the Lord has opened for us, and we want to be faithful to steward the opportunities we believe that God has given us and continues to give us. But that can be hard. Enthusiasm can wane. Momentum is hard to maintain. And that is why we have to be intentional in order to be faithful. We have to be intentional in order to be faithful. This is something we've been talking about as elders. And that is why we are asking for intentional commitment and intentional participation in our mission together from every single person in the church, in our church, together. Whether it's just you individually or it's your family together, or it's your community group together, but in some way, some form, some fashion, every single one of us is intentionally committed and participating in this area. Now, I think there's often two challenges associated with this. One is that people just don't know what's going on, and so they don't really know what the opportunities are, how to be involved, how to participate. And then two, I think sometimes we can think that the bar is just set so high, right? The entry point for being involved with something like this is so high, like so time intensive, that we just can't possibly do it, right? So for example, you hear about, you know, Stony Creek Reading Buddies on a Sunday morning, and you think to yourself, there's just no way I could do that. That does not fit into my schedule, doesn't fit into my season of life. There's just no way I could possibly be a part of that. And so what happens, though, is that you just sort of put Stony Creek out of your brain altogether. It's like, all right, I couldn't be a buddy, so I just don't think about Stony Creek at all. And so we would like to help eliminate both of those obstacles, those hurdles, the hurdle of not really being informed or thinking that just the time, the bar is so high, I don't know how I could possibly do it. And so the goal of November 10th is to help you better know what is going on, right, to be informed, to know what the opportunities are, and to help you see that the bar for being involved is not as high as you think it is. Though, while not eliminating the need for intentionality, because these things always take intentionality, we believe it is possible to participate. No matter who you are, no matter what season of life you're in, no matter what your schedule is, it's actually possible to participate. Because intentional commitment and participation can look one of three ways. One is you can make an intentional commitment to participate through prayer, right? I'm just going to assume that everybody here has a prayer life. And if you have a prayer life, then it is possible to participate through prayer. And so, no, right, you may not be able to participate as a reading buddy over at Stony Creek, but you can find out who in our church is and make a commitment to pray for them as they go over there. Right, so in that way, you are making an intentional commitment to participate. Though you yourself cannot be physically present, you are going to pray for those who are present, and in that way, you are intentionally participating in a way that already fits right into your schedule and your life and your rhythms. Right, so no, you may not be able to be a host family for Safe Families, but you can find out who in our church is and make a commitment to pray for them, to participate through prayer. In fact, did you know that every month, the Charlotte Outreach Group on the Realm posts a monthly update about all the ways that we are involved in caring for and ministering to at-risk children in our city. And even if you could not be physically present at a single thing that they post about, you could take that update and you could make a commitment to pray for every one of the things that are on that update. And in that way, you are intentionally participating in what's happening through prayer. Secondly, you can make an intentional commitment to participate through giving. Right, just like every single one of us has a prayer life, every single one of us has resources that we have been blessed with. A few examples, right? Every single family meeting, Truth and Mercy is set up out in the lobby collecting baby items for moms who choose life over abortion. Right? How many of us don't think about that until we get here and we see the table set up? Right? And did you know that the Rancho 3M website, for example, has a sponsorship page where you can go on their website and see actual children and personally and individually help sponsor kids at the ranch, right? Helping to pay for tuition, helping to pay for basic needs. We could make some intentional commitments through our resources to participate. Or thirdly, right, you could make an intentional commitment to participate through actually physically serving, right? Maybe God is calling you to just get your hands dirty, to go out there and to do things. Serving as a volunteer at a Luke's Kids R&R night. One of the other things is sometimes we think, oh man, there's just this regular weekly, regular monthly thing. I can't do that. That doesn't fit into my life. A lot of these ministries have just one-off events, right? One Saturday a month, right? Once a year even. One Saturday out of the year where you could just go and participate and be involved. So no, maybe you can't commit to something ongoing on a regular basis, but you could make a commitment to participate in at least one thing over the next year. That's helping to care for at-risk kids in our city and beyond. So the point is, we know you can't do everything. Nobody's asking people to do every single thing that's involved in the church, to be involved in every single ministry, but we do sincerely believe, genuinely believe, that every single one of us can do something, right? Whether through prayer, whether through giving, whether through serving, and all are equally vitally important. Equally vital and important. So on November the 10th, we're going to help put as much information into your hands as possible, right? So that you're informed. What are the opportunities? What is happening? How can I pray? How can I give? How can I serve? We just want to give you that information. So we're going to have tables set up again that just helps to make you be informed. And we are asking for everybody in the church to show up on November 10th, ready to take steps together, right? Having sought God personally, or talked as a family, right? Or talked as a community group, but just coming ready on that Sunday to answer the question, how can we intentionally commit to participate in something together? Make sense? Amen. All right, so November 10th, we're looking forward to that, and more information, more announcements will be coming the closer we get to that date.
Let me actually start. I want to talk about the stats and stories from this past year, but I want to do so just by reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4 by way of reminder of what this report really is. Paul, talking to Timothy, says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." As we were studying the book of 2 Timothy this past year, we used the phrase, living lives that matter, leaving legacies that last, doing that by building our lives on the Word of God. And as I was thinking about that passage of pouring out our lives, pouring our lives as a drink offering, that in so many ways is what happens week in, week out, as people give of their time, give of their resources, use their gifts to serve in the church. And what we put together here in this Stats and Stories little booklet is just a snapshot of what Paul is talking about, of people who are giving away their lives day in, day out, living for the kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God through their giving, through their serving, through the way that they live as disciples. And what we tried to do in this little booklet is just capture a snapshot of the record that we have seen over this past year to give you guys a kind of a glimpse at some of the stories that we think, some of the snippets and quotes in here are just from testimonies that we've heard over this past year of in different areas in the church, some stats that help tell the story of things we've done as a church by way of reminder. Some of these things maybe are new to you, but hopefully at least many of these things are encouraging to you. And hopefully that what this kind of does for us is not just kind of serve as a report, but actually remind us of all the things God's been doing over the past year. That God's been at work in our church. But each year we want to give you this as sort of a snapshot of where we've been over the past year and where we're going. On the last kind of page there, we have sort of the outlook of this past year as well as our future year. And on that page, I just wanted to point out a couple of things, just sort of some trends, some things in there, just so that everybody is aware of kind of where we're at in stewarding the resources of the church. A couple of things to note. One is the actual church budget for the year, we lost a whopping $2,800, which on an over $1 million budget is pretty much nothing. It's like we could have turned the lights off a little earlier this week and would have been fine. So that is another one of those testimonies of God's kindness to us. God in his providence knew exactly what we needed in order to be able to do all the things that he called us to this past year. The numbers are interesting because they almost look the same, the anticipated income and the actual income look pretty much the exact same. It threw me off. I actually thought they were literally the same, and then I realized maybe I struggle a little bit with dyslexia, but I don't know. But just as an FYI, a lot of the income that we had was actually for the church plant. People giving to the Wilmington church plant this past year, and so the numbers that we have are actually inflated by that. Our actual tithes and offerings are actually a little bit lower this year, but the reason everything ended up balancing out is our expenses ended up being a little bit lower this year. I just want to make one comment about the tithes and offerings being a little bit lower this year. We think that a lot of the reason for that is not due to people deciding to be hoarders more so this year, okay? But actually the general trend that we've noticed is that we're actually in the midst of a generational transition. We're in the midst of a lot of our church being younger. Younger people don't make as much money. When you have more young people, the more of your givers don't give as much because they don't make as much money as people who are in the midst of really good careers. So it changes. It changes the dynamics of where you're at and what you're able to do. And so even though our church, we aren't necessarily looking at our church and thinking, man, people aren't giving as much as they used to, or man, our church is shrinking like crazy and therefore the budget's going down. It's really neither of those things. It's just a generational transition. As we have more and more young people who are still kind of entering into the career years, it just changes the dynamics of how that works. And so as we're thinking about where it's going for next year on that page down below, expenses always continue to go up because insurance goes up. There's inflation. There's just always reasons for why doing the same thing actually costs more. That's just the nature of it. And so we're kind of pretty aware that as that happens, if the trend continues of our church is getting younger and the tithe doesn't go up in the same way that expenses go, obviously we're going to have to make some adjustments. There'll be things we won't be able to do in the same way, which is totally understandable. And that's okay. We want to be flexible and be wise in how we steward the money. And I want to talk about more about that in just a second. We talk about a 5-year plan. We want to be thoughtful about how we do that. Just a couple of things to point out that are changes from last year in terms of the percentages that you see on there. Last year, because of the church plant, we had a much higher percentage going towards mission and outreach. There was tens and thousands of dollars that were given to the church plant that came in. And so that number was a little bit higher than it is this year. And Not only that, but we also kind of in lieu of that had a bunch of building things that we had to repair that cost tens of thousands of dollars. And so a lot more of the money this year actually had to go into operational costs of just keeping the building going. We had an HVAC go out, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things that we said last year, we have three you know, vision hopes for the future. Our three last year were building updates and repairs. We know that that's coming, and we got to figure out how to steward well for that. That started happening this year. We weren't really expecting it to start happening this year, but it already started happening this year, and it cost a bunch of money. We also wanted to grow in our Charlotte outreach initiatives, which a lot of that was starting safe families, growing in our partnerships with other local churches, and I want to give an update about where we see that heading to in this next year. And then we wanted to grow in our relationship with Rancho 3M in particular, which we saw a ton of fruit from that. Just the Sunday we were able to have where they came up, the growing partnership we had, sending a big team down there again this year, a desire actually for us in the region that we partner with within Sovereign Grace. We're trying to talk right now about how do we grow in our partnership with Rancho 3M extra locally as well as just us as a local church. But one of the things I just wanted to kind of point out to you, those three things, by God's grace, all kind of happened this year. We grew in our relationship with Rancho 3M. We grew in a lot of the Charlotte outreach initiatives, and we had to start dealing with our building in a new way. But the cool thing about this, as we started praying and thinking about the building updates, and we mentioned this at the last family meeting, is our goal for this year is to come up with a 5-year strategic plan. We think that this is going to be extremely important for the future of our church. As I said then, is we have this property, and we need to figure out what we want to do with it. We have a lot of land we don't really use, really. We have a building that's kind of designed in a way that we don't use super functionally, but we're a little hamstrung on knowing exactly what to do with it until we have a plan for what we want to do with it going into the future. So should we make changes? Should we make updates? It's tough to figure those things out. How much do we need to budget for maintaining the building, which we need to budget a lot because a lot's going to go wrong. The building's starting to get old. It's at that time where it turns over and we got to spend some significant money on keeping the building open functionally, all right? So there's things we need to do. And so what we want to do over this next year, so that a year from now when we come back to you at the family meeting, we'll have a 5-year strategic plan by God's grace. So we want to start praying about that. We're actually starting to gather teams and resources and different things. There are people who are helping us with that, who are very gifted at that, that you will be hearing about in the future, who actually know how to do things like that, so that this isn't completely left up to people like me and Joe, and John, and Jeremy, and Mickey. Because we all know that that's not what we're hired really to do. So it's probably not best to leave it up to us completely. We should get people who are smart and gifted at a lot of these different things to help lead us in this. So that is one of our goals for this next year. Another thing that we're excited about is collaborating with local churches. As we've been thinking and talking about how do we partner with local churches, how do we reach our city, have a heart for the city, one of the things that we want to do is actually more particularly partner with churches close to us in the city. So not just trying to randomly partner in the city, but we actually want to partner with the churches that are right around here to be the most effective and efficient we can be. So some of you participated actually just this past month in a prayer time with Jonahville AME Zion Church. And there's numerous things that we would like to do like that, things more often, more locally. Hope Church's food pantry. There's more opportunities for us to pray together as local churches, to partner together as local churches, so we can be more effective. And we hope that in the coming months, that's actually going to be growing as Gordon helps lead and spearhead some of that for us. And then the third thing on here, gospel care expansion. One of the things we've realized by God's grace. Sorry, Jeremy. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna kind of throw Jeremy up on a pedestal, so everybody make fun of him later. One of the things that we've found out is all the work that Jeremy's put into doing gospel care is something that a lot of other churches want us to help them with. So Jeremy has actually been contacted by a bunch of different churches to want to come and be trained in gospel care, to learn how to do it at their churches, to be able to train people. How do we train people in the church to care for one another? How do we do that? What do we do? And so I think we're going to have a number of churches this fall. We've already had one church come and do this. And one of the things we want to be able to do is figure out, how can we care for more churches? How do we help other local churches be able to do this? How do we help other churches that partner with us in Sovereign Grace how to do this? And that takes resources, it takes people who can do gospel care, the gospel care coaches. We need more people who we can train and equip. That takes time, it takes resources to do all that stuff. But it's an opportunity that kind of fell into our laps, just as people have heard about it. They've wanted to come and participate. So we have churches coming from all over the country this fall to do it. We're going to do it with a handful of pastors and local church leaders. And we're excited to probably do this more times into the future. And so this is going to take a little bit of time and effort and resources in order to be able to pull off, to be able to serve some other churches, and to be able to train some other people to be able to do that. So those are just some things that we're excited about and we're thinking about in kind of a big picture way over this next year, and want to be able to budget towards. And so a lot of this, though, is up to God's work, God's hand. All the plans that we have, all the things that we're thinking about, all the ways in which we want to keep growing, all the stories we want to hear next year of what God's been doing and is doing, it's about whether or not he wants that. And so who knows how this year will go? I have no idea. We are not in control. We plan with open hands. But we plan hoping that God is actually going to do far more than what we're even planning for.
Quick update about M28, and then we're going to do a Q&A about our mentor program. As you guys had a chance to see on Sunday, we showed a video just explaining our mission and vision, and hopefully that re-envisioned you for college and ministry. We've been about it for 2 decades now, and God's been faithful. Our campus is growing. That might have stood out to you in watching this video. In the past 5 to 7 years, it has exploded. Now it plays what I think will be an increasingly big role in our city. It's a feeder system for the workforce. There's tons of companies involved, organizations involved. Student life is growing. There's actually a student life pulse on our campus now. It's not a commuter school, and it's going to continue to influence our city. By God's grace, he's given us the campus ministry that can have gospel influence there. And there are three things that we see God doing in M28 for our campus. Three of those, you could be a part of. And I just want to kind of explain those to you. Here's why. M28 is not just an outlier thing that's connected to our church. It's our campus ministry. And I think it's important for you to know a couple things that are upcoming, just so that fits into what we're doing broadly as a church. Here are the three things: alumni, staff, and mentor program. Alumni Association, the one that we never had that we're starting this fall, that's actually happening. Here's the deal. There are a couple of alumni that over the past 2 or 3 years just have a heart to gather what is now hundreds of students over the past 20 years that have been involved in campus ministry at UNCC. And their heart is to create an alumni association where alumni could get involved and give back to campus and be involved in gospel ministry there. Now, we have a ton of alumni in this church, but we have many alumni in this city and throughout the region that still have a heart for our campus and ministry. And man, it's exciting to know they want to be all in on what God's doing at UNCC. I bring that up for two reasons. Number one, we're not starting that. It's alumni that God's given a heart for this. Number two, if you are here and are alumni, you can get involved with that. Two of our members are helping begin that, Turner Cathy and Wes Swiger, and we're going to have more communication that comes out for you about how to get involved. Pretty exciting stuff. Number two, staff. More importantly, interns. As UNCC has evolved, so has Mission 28, because that's how ministry works. We want to do ministry in a way that fits our context. And a value that the school has, a really deep value that they want everyone to get on board with, they want all the student orgs to be student-run, including even the Christian student orgs. And so for the past 4 to 5 years, we've been working hard to create a leadership pipeline. And by God's grace, man, he's blessed that. There's a lot of very sharp leaders, particularly upperclassmen, that are beginning to run M28 events, lead discipleship groups on the ground, do evangelism, even equip underclassmen for that. It's so cool what God's doing. But we realized with that shift, there also needs to be a change in our internship, because now the internship requires that whoever's on staff is not able to only go on campus, gather students, evangelize them, but they need to be able to lead and pour into our leaders and help coach them up as they're leading and mobilizing ministry. And what's been cool is as our student leadership has grown, our interns have really grown. Here's why I'm bringing this up. For the past 20 years, you all have partnered with and served over 35 interns. That's crazy. And this year, there's an opportunity to continue to do that with Sam and Joel. But I want you to know, I see these two as God's provision for us. Not only do they love Jesus, love evangelism, love discipleship, they're very sharp leaders, and they're leading the leaders in M28 and creating even a deeper gospel culture. And not only that, both these two have a heart for this local church. One of their biggest priorities is connecting everyone we meet as an org to a lifetime of discipleship here. So just that quick update on the internship, kind of what our interns are doing now. They're very much on the ground mobilizing students, equipping them, and we're doing it, the three of us together as a staff. So they would love to get coffee with you, talk to you about it, tell you more about what's going on. Both these interns, like all other 35, raised their own support, both inside and outside the church. They're sacrificing much to serve us and be on the front lines, and they would love to tell you their story. So that's the internship. Third thing, and our Q&A guys could come up. We have a heart, particularly for this year. We did this past year to integrate M28 into the life of our church through our mentor program. And these guys are going to come up and tell you about it. We have Brian Holm, Caleb Friend, the young guy, and Merle Fisher, the guy in between. So we're going to have a conversation, and rather than me just tell you what this program is like, you're going to get to hear from them. So gentlemen, come on up. Can we switch? All right. Well, y'all gonna do the peanut gallery the whole time? Okay. Just so we all know what's going on. So, just so you know, these three guys have been, in a sense, piloting this whole mentor thing for us this past year. So I just want to walk through with them kind of what the mentorship program is, what that looks like, and just allow you to hear their heart. So we'll start off with Brian. Brian, I would love to just for you to share a little bit of your heart just for discipling young college guys.
When I started considering being involved with this ministry, a couple things came to mind that really helped me to say, yes, this is what I need to be a part of. The first thing was I looked back at my own life and saw there was a number of people that were involved in my life as I was growing up. God put those people in my life at strategic times in my life and throughout my life. And those people were very instrumental in just pointing out things in my life, helping me as a Christian to grow. So that was one thing. When I thought about that, I'm like, hey, this is an opportunity for me to do that to these guys as well, in whatever way God had. The second thing was just allowing guys to see that it's worth living a life for Christ. And when they see that in somebody that's lived for a while and see the faithfulness, they see that, yes, there's struggles in life, but yet it's still worth it, you know, and to be able to have the opportunities to talk through life situations, talk about any questions that are out there, that's what I wanted to be able to provide for these guys. There's so many role models that we see in our world today, and unfortunately, many of those are bad role models. So the opportunity to be involved in guys' lives and be able to let them ask the questions about life and be able to just share from Scripture what God's taught me. A couple things that helped me.
That's great. How about what does your group look like? How did it get started? Who's in it? What do y'all actually do?
Well, I had Merle and I had the pleasure of leading with Merle. Merle and I, we had four guys this year. Caleb's one of them who is sitting here. Three of the guys I didn't even know. So that was really cool to get to know these guys. Sam Scarlett, who we talked about earlier, was also one. Caleb Salo goes by Salo. He was another one. So those three guys I didn't know at all. And then Joe Mulligan was the fourth. So I knew about Joe, but not, you know, anything beyond that. I knew he was Ray Mulligan's son, young son. And then the other thing, just, you know, what we wanted to focus on with these guys is just the opportunity to meet regularly. So we tried really hard to meet no more than 3 weeks to have a group time together. And just, you know, these guys are involved in a lot of stuff with school going on. Some of the guys are working as well. So we knew that was going to be a challenge. But as we got into a rhythm, that really helped. I know for myself, I really looked forward to that time just to have with these guys. And then whenever the opportunity arose, just to meet with the guys one-on-one if they wanted to do that as well.
Great. It's great. Really appreciate that. And Merle, you linked up with Brian to do this. So just a little bit about your heart for that, and maybe more specifically, like, what kind of topics? Give us a picture of the discussions.
So my wife and I started attending Crossway and started to make friends within Crossway, young married couples, singles, and quickly realized how significant an impact M28 had on the Crossway congregation, just members here, and connecting people and just people who wouldn't be here otherwise. And really started developing a heart for that and just understanding how important that ministry is in Charlotte for Crossway and just God's purpose as a mission here. And so when Matt and Mary Caroline reached out and asked if I wanted to be a part of that, I already felt like the answer was obvious to me. I'd been interested in preparing, you know, myself for that kind of opportunity. And it was really great to see how God designed or just orchestrated this group, put it together. I feel like it was almost handpicked. Brian leading out and kind of taking the lead. Topics were assigned generally by the board, I guess, whatever you want to call it, the people who are in charge of M28, would give these like topic suggestions to all of the mentorship groups, and generally would have articles on the content, and we'd share that with the guys just as a springboard to launch the conversation. So we'd have a little bit of a framework to go on, and just to see how relevant the content was. We didn't really come into it like with a lot of thought out agenda. It just happened naturally, just the way that it should. The guys participated, and just again, like how relevant the topics were to specific people in the group, and how we all just you know kind of rallied around that. I feel like you know, some topics were like right on the nail for Sam, and some, you know, just exactly what you needed to hear. And just to see how, to see that in the group setting was a huge faith builder, and I think helped me to grow even just as one of the mentors.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So Caleb, you're the young guy. He's obviously the college student here. God worked in your life a ton this past year. How do you use the group to do that?
For starters, just having older men who have a lot more wisdom than me. You might be surprised to hear a 20-year-old kid doesn't have a whole lot of wisdom. But it's been I love the dynamic of having the old guy and the middle guy too, where it there's different levels of life, and there's just so much to learn. Just from sitting there and watching, really. As far as just being a part of that group, having guys that are a part of my life daily for accountability and for just hanging out and in a good context. I think one of the greatest things about that group is, while y'all didn't even know us at all, we weren't the best of friends either. In fact, there's a couple people in the group who were the opposite of friends. And God really used that to change those relationships and build them up. So it's just been great.
That's awesome, man. Very cool. One thing, obviously, we've highlighted already, but with these M28 mentorship groups. Part of what we're trying to do is get an older person, and I guess a middle person. And that's because in Crossway, one of the things God's doing is just growing this older, younger dynamic. We want to foster that. We want to grow that. So Merle, particularly just working with Brian, what have you learned through that?
A lot. It was a little bit, it was difficult for me to know how to answer that question. And partly because I think after the first time that we met, I may have had like some mixed feelings, like how is this gonna work? What's the dynamic of this group? But I think what I've taken away from this, just having gone through the semester and ongoing, because we didn't stop, was just how valuable the maturity and wisdom of an older person, almost like a father figure for these guys, to be there for them. And I don't know, Brian probably doesn't feel like, you know, he's like he had something so special to give, but he really did. He really was exactly what the group needed. I'm thoroughly convinced. It was amazing.
So there you go, man. Everybody knows it. It's awesome. We'll wrap up with just this one question. Brian, long-term member here, to do this, what's required? Kind of we'd love to hear just your encouragement for us how to get involved, what to expect.
Yeah, well, you know, that my easy answer to that is anybody can be involved, okay? And I think, you know, Joe, you were talking about this earlier, just everybody participating, and sometimes we feel that bar is too high for us to get involved. Certainly something like this can feel that way, but I think when you approach it in such a way that you're investing in people's lives here, then it's an easy no-brainer thing, because it's all about relationships. It's really what it's about. And one of the things I jotted down when I was thinking about this is we're all called to be Christ followers and disciple makers, all of us. So to me, what that means is as a Christ follower, I'm called to love God and love others, okay? And as a disciple maker, it's helping other people learn that and do that as well. It's really that simple. And so if you love Jesus, if you love studying the word, if you love talking about the word, you're qualified. And there should be nothing holding you back from getting involved in something like this. Everybody has a story to tell that can encourage other people. And believe me, these guys heard a lot of mistakes of my life. You know, and so the cool thing about that is that they could see that, hey, I didn't have everything together, and I still don't have everything together, but you know what? We're wrestling through this life together, and that's the important thing, and I think the guys really enjoyed that a lot, and I think that just broke down a lot of barriers really fast when we just, you know, how does the gospel apply to life right now? And that's what it's about. You know, helping guys see that and live it out.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, man. All three of y'all. I think just to wrap up your takeaway, Matt and Mary Carolina Ardwin would love to get you connected to this. They facilitate the Crossway side. Our staff gathers students, and hopefully in September these groups will launch. I will be down front as well as Joel and Sam to just talk to y'all about M28. Thank you so much for how you love our campus. I love y'all.